What's happening, everybody? Welcome to episode 200 of the Better Fester podcast. We made it to 200.
Yeah.
When did we start this? Was it 2017, 2018?
I think 17.
Because you would think 52 weeks
a
year.
I did a rotation with you in 2017, that summer.
Right.
And we talked about it during that rotation. I don't think we started it until after I was done, but I think we did start it in 2017.
Yeah.
I think.
Jeez. So, yeah, if we would have been
if we had been a little more consistent, we'd be at 300.
Yeah, we'd be somewhere between 250 and 300 doing math on that.
But yep. we were so good for the first 100. Like, there was like 2 years I don't think we missed a week.
Yep.
We would even record like a second episode if we were going to miss a week. And then I think we hit 100, and then it was kind of like, all right, let's maybe have a little leeway here.
Yeah, but, you know, if we really wanted to, we could have made it happen. You can always make time for the things that you want to prioritize. But nonetheless, we're here, feeling motivated today, right?
200.
Here we go.
Hard to believe. And selfishly, this started out as a way for me to just pick your brain on topics that I didn't understand yet. So I'd suggest a topic so I could just ask you questions on it.
Yeah,
it was like free mentorship.
It was cool, man. And there weren't many of these podcasts. There was a few, but there were a few that inspired us too.
Yeah,
but there weren't many out there.
There were not near as many as there are now. And we did focus a lot early on. We wanted to selfishly as a way for us to get some great guests on.
Right.
So that's been fun to have different people. We need to maybe make an effort to get some other cool people back on.
I still remember that time we had Danny Matei on, and he's like, "Where's your mic? You guys don't even have a mic."
Yeah.
And he was being like serious. Yeah.
We lost our explicit rating that day.
Yeah, that's right.
He dropped an F-bomb, and then I think he looked at us. And we're like, "All right, there it goes.
Yep,
now we got an E next to it."
Mm-hmm.
But oh man, hard to believe 200.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely
a long journey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, as always, we got a few updates, right? So
I feel like
the more infrequently we do these, the more updates we have. So I think probably the number one thing to talk about is Dr. Sydney Van Landingham. She is our outpatient physical therapist, outpatient in the home physical therapist.
Yeah.
So she's been working with us since the beginning of 2022.
Yeah.
And
sure.
So we're a year and a half into this, and she has just grown.
She's crushing it. Yeah. So we're going to expand that arm of our
Everybody loves her. Yeah. And it's been great. And so but the announcement is Sydney just officially accepted the position as Dreer High School's varsity soccer coach, which is great, right?
She's been varsity. She was the JV head coach for 4 years, and I think the varsity coach just stepped down. I think he'd been there a while or something, and so she was offered the job, and she took it, and her husband Eric's one of her assistants, and it's awesome. She herself, really accomplished Division I soccer player.
Mm-hmm.
She was in my class in PT school, so she was always our ringer for every intramural sports team.
Right,
yeah,
right.
She's the best athlete on the field, male or female, didn't matter. She was the best. And so Sydney is
just one of those ATH people.
She can do literally anything.
Yeah, any position,
football,
any game.
Softball, it didn't matter what you're playing.
Absolutely.
She was always the best. And so she also has become this really accomplished coach, both in the high school world, but she also has her own sport performance, like soccer-specific sport performance skills. Stuff, Vandy Sports Performance. So that's pretty awesome for her too.
We think about it, like, she's good at everything she does. Like, it's almost like if she was a character you're gonna make on a video game, she'd be like 99s across the board. Clinician, coach,
like, this
human
like,
being.
This isn't fair.
Yeah,
it's like a robot. But we're so lucky to have her on our team, both as PT, but also too, like, for selfishly when we she helped us win the co-ed soccer championship for the Vertex Becknas last fall.
Had that big trophy.
Got that big Stanley Cup looking trophy.
Yeah. That we recently had to give back
and replaced
with two championship belts for Fittest Physio. That's coming up soon, right?
It is coming up soon.
So we're planning that. We're going to be launching that, announcing that very, very soon.
Yeah.
But we certainly did not want that to interfere with the other competition coming up. That's those CrossFit Games, right?
Yeah.
So once again, Josh, Vertex Performance Training, right, has another athlete heading to the Games.
Ethan's going back, man. Got to give him all the credit, right? You know, like, I can – it doesn't matter what the program is if the person doesn't put in the work, right?
Right.
So he's done super, super well. Been, working with him, since back before he went to the Games the first time, right? Mm-hmm. Which I think we documented heavily on this podcast back in 2018.
And Ethan Helbig, by the way.
So big shout out to him. He's on a team this year, and they crush it. They are in the West, North America West. Finished seventh, even with a couple events that they did not have some great success with. They had one of their athletes dealing with a little bit of a shoulder thing, and so she was having trouble with certain movements, and so they had a couple poor finishes, but they still finished like seventh and then top 10 go. And so, and they had a pretty big buffer, so they probably would have been pushing more top five or so fully healthy. So got to give a shout out to all four of them on their team. They're great. They're out of Rhino CrossFit. So if you're looking up when they're at the games, Rhino CrossFit, the Dogs. And so we're excited for them. But he's got to go back to Madison.
This is last year of Madison, right?
So, no,
they keep changing.
They signed an extension. And okay. I don't know if they're going year by year. I can't remember the details, but they leaked a little bit of the Birmingham thing, and it got like a lot of people were just not happy that they were one leaving Madison and that was moving to Birmingham or this area. Although when I saw that what that was the facility offered that they were going to use, it looked pretty cool. But and selfishly, we could drive to it, so I was excited.
So they just caved to pressure.
I think I wouldn't be surprised if it got leaked intentionally to kind of see what the public outcry would be. Mm-hmm. Madison has just been such a good home for it, mm-hmm. And so I mean, this would have been 5 out of 6 years we've had somebody qualify. Mm-hmm. The one year would have been 2019. One year they didn't have the games in 2020 for the Masters Division, so Jess couldn't go that year. She was 10th that year in the qualifying part. So really 4 out of the 5 games since that 2018. Games. So excited to be going back and getting to see Ethan. And then, yeah, he gets married in December, so I'll get to go to Pittsburgh to go see him and Mel tie the knot. So it will be a
big year.
It'll be a fun time. Big year for it, man. Yeah, big absolutely. Bounce back year.
Well, cool. Well, congrats, Ethan and the Rhinos. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Always like to see someone I've known or I've met and kind of gets me invested. Otherwise, I'm probably not going to stream.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's people doing exercise.
Cool. The team stuff's Thursday through Sunday, so August 3rd through the 6th. Yep. So we'll be up in Madison representing.
You know. Awesome, man. Exciting stuff. We're going to get into something about fasting in a minute, but I need to back up a little bit because we were talking about Sydney, and her alma mater is ISU, right?
Yeah, Indiana State Sycamores, yep. Pride of Larry Bird, Terre Haute, Indiana, right there. Yeah.
I would not.
It's kind of my general region, right? Being from Ohio, yeah. So yeah.
So they're showing out in baseball. Apparently,
they are. So this is kind of sucks for the team a little bit. So they are awesome. They were actually one of the top 16 teams. So that means they got to host the regional. So college baseball does their NCAA tournament a little differently than say like March Madness does. So you have 16. 14 regionals, so still 64 teams, and so I was lucky enough to get to participate in that because we won the Atlantic 10 my senior year. So like it's kind of the same thing as like you can get automatic berths, mm-hmm. and at-large bids.
Yeah.
And so her team was top 16 in the country, and yeah, and they get to host just like Carolina and Clemson and Coastal all got to host.
Right.
And they won their region. They won, so they got out. Which there's a 1 seed, a 2 seed, 3, and a 4 in each, mm-hmm. region. They survived the regional, and the way that the pairings lined up, they were actually would have hosted the super regional, which is like they go from the 16 teams, they play eight 3-game series. So it's like you're paired up with a team, you do a 3-game series, there's 8 of those, and they were going to get to host. But because Terre Haute has this long history, I think, of hosting the Special Olympics events, it's that same weekend. And so they scheduled that years in advance, right?
Right.
And so there are no hotels available. There's no anything. So they're actually going to have to go to TCU and play, which kind of stinks for those kids. Just because there's no way they could have hosted anything that weekend. But you can't make the assumption they're going to make it that far, especially as a smaller school. But
yeah, the athletic department didn't believe in them.
Yeah, that's the way you look at it. But yeah, so they're going to go to TCU, I believe is who it is, which is that's super cool. This is a fun time. Carolina won, hosted their regional. They won. Clemson didn't. Also a good thing.
Yes, dude. Yo, it is.
Our Clemson listeners.
Not sorry.
Yeah. Tennessee won that regional, but we won ours, so we go to Florida.
So
it's at Gainesville.
Yeah, yeah. It's been a while. So the Carolina won back to back natties in 2010, 2011. So it's cable.
And then they lost in the championship in 2012.
Right,
that was
right.
3 in a row.
So I can't believe. And so that was back during the Ray Tanner days. They used to call it Gorilla Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And so I honestly don't watch baseball. I think it's boring. I never played, right? So mm-hmm. I just more time, I think, within action versus action. As someone who's not well versed in all the intricacies, right? It's not super interesting to me. But of course, I'm a bandwagoner, right? Mm-hmm. When it gets to be postseason and Carolina's going to the College World Series,
yeah,
I'm watching. I'm invested during that time. So let's say about once or twice every 10 years, I'm watching baseball. So Gorilla Baseball, right? Has their style changed now? Ray Tanner's having been the coach for a while. He's been the AD at USC. And so have you noticed any changes in the way that they're playing, what's gotten them to this point?
Well, they are still hitting a whole lot of home runs, and you know, that is something that's been part of their style. I think the last few years they've really struggled with more make contact. I think their strikeout numbers were up. And again, I would be lying if I said I have really dug deep into it. Mm-hmm. I get to go to a few games a year if I'm lucky. But this year they have some really outstanding talent. They have arguably the freshman of the year, who's setting school records and home mm-hmm. runs and things like that out in right field. Pitching staff has done well enough. Wimmer at short's been great. They have Messina is an awesome catcher behind the plate, an all SEC catcher. Like they have some good pieces everywhere. A lot of guys are going to get drafted, and so they are hitting a lot of home runs. And I don't say they live or die by it, but they're fun to watch. They actually have this year the big change on their staff is they actually hired Monty Lee, who was the head coach at Clemson before he just right. got let go.
Yep.
And then Clemson hired the guy from Michigan. They had a great year, but I think Monty's been a huge influence on cool. Carolina's team, and they've had a great year. So now they're one of the final 16. We go to Florida, but if not for Carolina, I'm pulling for the Sycamores, baby. Let's go Indiana State. Do it for the little schools, baby. Yep.
We'll see. Coming up soon, right?
Yeah, it is. Yep, next weekend.
Cool. So switching gears now, I think the clinical piece of this is we want to talk about fasting.
Yeah.
So Carly, actually, that was her request. She's like, hey, have you guys ever talked about fasting? I was like, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of mentioned it amongst other things when it comes to dietary considerations, weight loss, things like that. So you had shown me a video, so
yeah,
kind of a hot topic, so I don't want to bury your lead here. But
the last week, and really the last couple of days, a guy by the name of Russell Okung, who was a really talented offensive tackle, played 11 years in the NFL, six with the Seahawks, I believe, won a Super Bowl with the Seahawks, back Russell Wilson and him, went in back in the day. He went to a few other teams, finished his last year was like 2020 in Carolina. So some people in this area who are Carolina Panthers fans may know him. And he was, big dude, 6'5 plus, 330, massive individual, super strong, super talented, great career, a couple Pro Bowls, awesome. Well, he's made the news this week, not for anything football related, other than he has lost all his football weight, and he did it in a very unique way. He's lost over 100 pounds. He fasted, he claims to have fasted for 40 straight days with nothing but water. Nothing but water. No, nothing else. Water and prayer, basically. Like, that's what he watched his video. That's what he talks about, having had issues in his, relationships with other people, his marriage, his kids, not knowing who he was as a person outside of football, all these different things. And so I do not know the details of what led to him wanting to do this, but he fasted for 40 days, lost over 100 pounds, looks so different. Looks like he half of himself,
right.
from what he was before. And now he's going to do it again. And so the question was like, is this safe?
Sure.
Kind of thing. I think that's what everybody's asking is, one, how did he do it? And two, is what he did safe?
Which right.
is, there's some legitimate questions.
Yeah, for sure. So I think also, That was like a 2.5 minute promo video. He went over.
Yeah, he now has a website. I don't know if he's selling something or I don't know, but you can follow along in his journey.
What was it like his last name? Fast.com.
Okungfast.com. Yeah.
So I think just a few pieces to break down there when he's talking about like why he did this in the first place. That whole thing about how him not having a relationship with his wife or his kids, that's a very common thing in elite high-level sports. That's kind of champion mindset. People that become great at things become obsessed and they sacrifice stuff. I'm not saying it's great to sacrifice your family. I wouldn't do it, but I get it. I understand.
Yeah,
that's what it takes in a lot of sports, and he's not the only one that would do that. I assume that the reason why he chose 40 days is because of the biblical. That's what Jesus Christ did,
yeah,
right?
It could be, yeah.
And it is biblical, right? There are passages that call us to fast, right, in order to create a deeper connection.
Well, you get that, I have some relatives who are Orthodox Jewish believers, and there's certain cultures and certain parts of different religions that it's ingrained and it's built in, and they practice it regularly and they go through that. And so, in just watching the dedication that it takes to do that, it's pretty impressive to just watch the how dedicated someone can be during that time. I'm thinking about could I do it?
I could. 40 days? No way.
No shot. I have a hard time. I've done a five. Paul used to make us do those 5-day Nero cleanses.
Yeah.
And where it was like fasting for everything, but you got a little bit of palm syrup. Like just enough carbohydrates to not go crazy. And it was miserable.
Could you have coffee?
No caffeine during it. Yeah. So I had to do it at times of year when I wasn't it was before I started working full time.
Do you think cleanses are legit? I always thought that was what our liver was for.
Yeah. So that brings us to a whole other thing. So we could go, Let's hit a few bullet points first here.
All right, yeah. So,
let's break this down a little bit.
All right, yes. Biblical, right? The Bible does call on us to fast periodically. I used to do it as a kid when we had things with church. It was like a 24-hour fast.
Right,
like,
I think, one day.
Hated it, ready to eat the next day as soon as it was over. Wrestler, you fast like once or twice a week as you're trying to cut weight.
Hated that as well, too, right?
Yep. It leaves you feeling miserable. So it actually kind of makes me actually want to try some type of fast. And I know some people in the fitness world that do it on a regular basis. There's some theory that they're... I don't know what the evidence is supporting this, but I'm way more open-minded about things than I used to be, that it could have a lot of health benefits in terms of maybe some potential, you know, anti-carcinogen, anti-cancer things, that kind of thing too. So I don't think there's like a ton of negative effects of a moderate fast for just a few days, but 40 days, I'm a little bit skeptical that he did this without some type of help, without some type of appetite suppressant, like we talked about last episode, this glutide or something similar to that, right? That's gotten really, really popular, but it could be legit. Also, how much was 389?
I can't remember what he actually weighed. I can't remember. He played at around, like, I think 330 to 350. Who knows what he was when he started the fast? I didn't see that number.
But he dropped 100 pounds, right? Which is basically like a whole teenage human being. Right? I couldn't do it. You know, I don't have near as much. You know, probably, I could probably maybe knock off 15, 20 pounds, you know, that kind of thing. But no, I don't think I could do that. So that's if it is legit, it's impressive.
I would.
didn't love the website thing at the very end. Remind me, like this, someone told me years ago, it's like at some point every movement, no matter how noble the cause, eventually becomes a grift. But also get it too, right? I like to make money. I'm a capitalist. We have a business, so I understand it. So I see both sides of it.
Yeah, I think I would highly recommend if you are thinking about doing any kind of fasting, just talk with your physician, number one, right? Got to put that out there. Especially if you're thinking about doing anything the length of what he's talking about, you need some medical oversight over that a little bit. And you know, don't take our word for it. You should do this or not. You need to figure out what works for you and have those conversations with those medical providers. But, you know, you see a lot of people talking about fasting in so many different ways now that it's you have these longer term fasts, these multi-day fasts, but then you have people who are trying to incorporate the, you know, more intermittent fasting type thing where they're putting fasting into their regular schedule to just basically limit the window in which they are consuming calories and then having these longer periods throughout each day, or, you know, some people will have maybe one day out of the week or something along those lines that has fasting built in. And there's a lot of people who claim some interesting things on what that may or may not help. And so fasting is used in more than just like, oh, you got to take a week plus off, right? It can be in these intermittent bouts. And that works really well for some people. I think it works for different reasons than what people think it works for.
Sure.
But yeah, I digress.
Well, yeah, I mean, end of the day, I've always been of the opinion that when it comes to weight loss, it's the math, calories in versus calories out. So fasting, if you do it intermittently or long term, eventually it's going to be, you're going to be in a caloric deficit and you're going to lose weight. And again, I told your doc disclaimer stuff. But ultimately, I mean, I think you look at the nation, right? One out of two, if not more, by the time this episode posts is obese. One out of two Americans, I should say, is obese. And so number one cause of cancer in the U.S. is still smoking. Number two cause of cancer is obesity, right? So too much adipose tissue. So it ain't healthy. And that doesn't even take into consideration the host of other comorbidities. And I think that as a society, people have gotten a little bit soft on the hard evidence surrounding that. It's just not a healthy thing to be overfat. And so something, you know, whatever strategy works for you, whether it's fasting, whether it's some other dietary consideration that becomes a habit, that sort of thing. But also I think when people just do like a random fast here or there once or twice a year, but it doesn't become any sort of carryover and they just really don't change their whole lifestyle and basically just remain sedentary, obese, that kind of thing the rest of the year, really doesn't serve much of a purpose.
Yeah, I think you made a good point there. It's hard to talk about some of these things because, you know, it's you know, the first thing you start talking about how like, oh, we have this obesity problem, people immediately go towards like, oh, you know, fat shaming and kind of things. And it's not like I think that makes it tough to have these conversations sometimes. And so it's more for us, I think on here we try our best to focus more on like what literature shows and what we know to be risk factors for these different you know problems later on, and we know that carrying extra adipose tissue is a problem for long-term health, right? Now that's not suggesting that those people are lazy or those people are not trying or those people are different, and you know, again, it's not putting on any particular situation, but it's acknowledging that the one thing that's been shown to help with the longevity is caloric restriction.
Right.
It's the one thing that's been shown to help us live longer and healthier.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. There are basic truths.
Yeah.
And in life. And that is one of them that we have to acknowledge is that too much adipose tissue is unhealthy for a host of reasons. Yeah. And we also know that the upwards of 95 to 99% of health issues go away with a certain amount of weight loss. But then the trick is, how do you not eat too much, right? That's the problem. As simple as it is satiety, right? If I said that word right, English is hard sometimes, but it's just, are you hungry all the time? Do you have whatever it takes to not overeat? And that's the difficult part for a lot of people.
Sure.
There's, my wife loves all the A&E shows, like My 600 Pound Life and stuff like that. And one of the commonalities amongst that population is a lot of them had some like really severe childhood trauma.
Yeah, for sure.
Different reasons. That's a commonality. And so that's a big association with you know, people who end up having, you know, excessive and you know, I think as a country, there's a lot of mental health issues as well too. You know, like the prescription medications for that are all time high or continuing to rising. So we certainly have a problem. I don't think anybody knows one way to address it, but I think that's also, there is not one way to address it. You have to take an individual approach about it. But nonetheless, I think we're getting off topic a little bit here, but you know, we have to kind of go back to that basic truth that excessive adipose tissue ain't good for you, and it is going to shorten your life or degrade your quality of life.
Yeah. No, I think you made some great points there, and that is fasting may, in any capacity, may or may not be the right solution for this person. And there are so many different layers with this. And so that's why it's hard. We're talking about more on a macro level. Each individual on more of a micro level is going to have to, you know, work for their own individual solution, which may involve, as you mentioned, some more. There could be a mental health piece. There could be an underlying medical condition that leads to some of it. There could be a medication that they're having to take for something else that also can lead to weight gain or changes in appetite. I mean, there's so many other things. Each individual case is so different, so you can't speak to each one. But just in general, we know that, like, he gets done playing football, going back to Russell Okung, like, carrying 330 pounds around for the rest of his life, probably not the right move. And so he found a way to reduce that and to get to a healthier body weight, quote unquote, around healthier, right? But a body weight that's much less, that is going to most likely be something that will help him long term. Now, the method may not have been something that's more of the traditional method, but he found his method, you know?
And so is the question you asked about 10 minutes ago was, is it healthy?
Yeah.
I think for that particular case, for him, probably was healthy.
Yeah,
right? He probably added years to his life. Now, if you were to do it again, 40 days on top of what he already did, I don't think that's going to be healthy.
And because I don't know how long he's taken in between. I didn't read that. It could be, you know, he hadn't been long. He hadn't been out of the league long. So he's not like he's taken 2 or 3 years between fasts.
Right. I think at some point, like if we're assuming all things are the same, he's going to start from his current body mass, his lean mass to fat mass, he's going to start losing some lean mass. And that's going to be a problem.
He probably lost some lean mass.
Yeah, exactly. But it's probably going to lose a significant amount. So I think at that point, it might not be so healthy. So I think everything's kind of a balance.
And then you have to look at kind of the other, there are some negative side effects to some of it. If we're going to play devil's advocate here a little bit, in terms of if you are spending that much time in that kind of caloric deficit, most likely he's not training. He's not doing a ton of activity. It just can't be supported with not taking in, you know, energy on top of that. And so you got to think the long-term implications of not really elevating heart rate much, which we know, you know, something that we need to do is not doing any kind of resistance training work. So like what's the impact long-term on his bone mineral density, on his heart health, on these other things? Like, you know, if he does this multiple times, right?
Right, for sure.
Yeah. So I would think that in a shorter duration one, that's almost more of a the reason we would do it, like some athletes will do it, is more of like a gut reset, and that kind of comes back to the cleanse question a little bit. And so there's maybe some merit to that. You know, if you're a high level athlete, you're crushing calories, and a lot of them are simple processed carbohydrates to provide the energy that you need to be able to sustain what your training is. Your gut may need a break, and you may need time away from that kind of intake to allow for basic turnover of the your gut lining or whatever it might be, or how it might impact the, you know, various different hormone levels or whatever it might be. So there might be a merit for that, but to do long term fast over and over and over again, it'll be interesting to see, like, will he have maybe some negative side effects from that?
Yeah, for sure. Just one that made me think of something. There's this kind of trend on the internet now where people are actually trying to get away from brown rice and promoting white rice, saying white rice got a bad rap and actually maybe better for you. I don't really know the intricacies of that, but just made me think about that. But hey, so, all right, let's say that.
Are we going to do a fast challenge? Is that what we're going to do? Is that what you're about to propose?
No. I was going to
test out these things before.
I was going to propose like a patient/client scenario, but when I was talking about like, all right, why do people fast? Yeah. What's like, you know, what's my experience been? I never actually did one because I wanted to. I kind of did it because it was like what you did as a youth group at church. It was sport. I mean, I guess, you know, I wanted to make weight and compete, but like I never did it from trying to do it from, you know, either trying to get closer to God and, you know, improve that prayer connection or just improve mental clarity. So I might do it. I might actually do like a 48-hour one and maybe we can talk about it on a couple episodes, something like that.
If you get cranky,
I'll wait.
There's no caffeine.
I'm going to have to do those modified ones.
Fasting except for coffee.
I think it's been scientifically proven that the people who cut out caffeine are 85% more likely to just hate their life. I was going to say something else.
I would be down to do something along those lines probably after we're done with the Ironman stuff because I can't. Obviously,
yeah. I was going to say like episode 400. No, we'll talk about it. No, I might do it. I might do it sooner than that. But I was going to say, all right, let's say that we have like a patient client scenario. You know, someone who you maybe has some previous athletic background. 10, 20 years went by, they got busy with life, job, kids, that kind of thing, you know, put on a lot of fat mass and was like, listen, I got to do something about this. I want to try a fast. I want to try a 72-hour fast just to kind of kickstart this thing. What are your thoughts? And well, you had the disclaimers, talk to your doc, you know, I'm not a registered dietitian, blah, blah, blah. That's all been put out there. But what are your thoughts about that? How would your approach be?
Yeah, I think the bigger thing to look at, what I would prefer to look at most likely is, how do we modify some of these other lifestyle factors? Because in my mind, if you do that 72-hour fast and maybe you cut some weight, and you know, it'd be quick and probably a lot of it is just water. But like, if you go back to the exact same lifestyle, did it really matter? So I look more of the in terms of like, if we're trying to have some more long-term success, how do we maybe we focus on more of these different lifestyle factors that we can modify to make some longer term changes? Could it be a jumpstart piece or a piece included in it? Yeah, maybe. I would want to kind of, you know, figure out why they think they need to go the 72-hour or whatever it is fast first. Are they really looking for just that quick fix? Which if that's the case, then like, again, it's not going to probably serve the long-term function that the long-term goal you're hoping for. So I'm not a huge fan of that. I would want to maybe focus on more of like, all right, well, if you're going to go back to your exact same life, like how do we work on those pieces?
Yeah.
What can we change there?
Exactly. My initial reaction to something like that would be no, because you're going to yo-yo, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You do it for 3 days, you're going to drop a quick 10, 15 pounds, mostly water weight, but then you're going to put it right back on plus some because you're probably going to binge, right? Mm-hmm. You're probably gonna actually, pendulum's going to swing the other way, then you might level out, whatever. And so, yeah, I think it comes down to habits and sustainability. Like, for example, I've had patients in the past who, when they're very open and honest about their diet is like, you know, look, I have 3 sodas a day, right? Mm-hmm. And I've been doing this for 10, 20 years. I've been doing this ever since I can remember. I'm usually like, all right, look, if that's something that you want to change, it sounds like you are, yes. I'm literally talking about going from that 21 sodas a week to 20. Let's pick the easiest day for you to where, you know, it's low stress, that kind of thing. Yeah. Let's just cut one out, right? You've been doing this for 10 years. That becomes easy. Then we cut out one or two more. At that point, we play the long game here. Because otherwise, we're all good about, you know, dramatically changing things for 2 days, 2 weeks. But then we're going to revert right back to habits. And I think, you know, I can't prove this, but I think the older we get, the more set we are in our ways, too. And it becomes even more difficult at that point, too.
Yeah. But I think I love that approach because you're also setting the person up for success because that's a really, like going from 21 to 20, like that's a pretty high likelihood of success there. If you say, all right, we're, you know, somebody's like, I'm going to do a 72-hour fast, right? And they've never fasted before. One, they might not make it. And so already they're feeling defeated. They've already lost. They've already, you know, failed in a way, right? even if they do complete it, like you mentioned, most likely it's coming back and maybe more because of that more yo-yoing, which is going to make them also feel more defeated, more like they failed, all those kind of things. And the goal for me with all clients and patients is trying to set them up for success. How do, you know, whatever we want to have them try to do at home, we want to make sure there's it's challenging or maybe makes it to where they have to put in work and effort to get something done or to do something. But we also want the likelihood of success to still be pretty high, you know, because otherwise, you know, if they're not successful with it, then they're just going to get more defeated. And if anything, they might go in the opposite direction.
Exactly.
So I love your strategy. It's the small incremental changes, not these big, fast for 40 days, boom, you're going to be totally healthy and you never have to worry about it again.
Right. And there's a huge psychology piece with that too, because people that have gone that far, you know, down the hole, if you want to call it that, where they've been just that unhealthy for that many years, they really do need a support system. They need coaches, people like positive reinforcement, right? Mm-hmm. We're not dogs, but the reward centers operate very similar across all mammals, right? So people need huge amounts of positive reinforcement in a quick amount of time. Like, it's actually, again, going back to dogs, that kind of thing too. Whenever they do something good, you give them quick positive reinforcement, it becomes a habit, right?
Yeah.
And the longer you wait, the less likely it is to happen. So that's like, if you're a coach or a client, and I know we're just an extreme example about, like, a real example though, about 21 sodas a week. You know, if that's a thing, you may want to check in with your people quickly and just, you know, positive reinforcement. I mean, that's even like a thing, like, you know, when it comes to, like, being a manager, like if an employee messes up and they come to tell you about something, you reward them for coming to tell you about, like, thank you for coming to tell me this. Right? We'll work this out. I really appreciate it. So that way it fosters an environment of communication and want to work with you and tell you more and that sort of thing. So I can't think of any reasons, honestly, where negative reinforcement works for any of us.
You know?
Especially, I think, as a site, we're getting more and more sensitive anyways, too. So, I think that's another just way to kind of really lock in those progressions, right? So things do become a habit.
Yeah. So moral of the story, if you're thinking about fasting, it could be appropriate in some manner in your life, but you need to probably have somebody helping you figure that out, whether it be your medical provider, nutritionist, nutrition coach, RD, somebody. Most likely, it does not need to be as drastic as 40 days. However, if you are planning to do something like that, please do seek some medical oversight. But it may or may not be an appropriate thing for you. But if you're looking for more drastic changes in body composition and weight loss, there probably are other factors we need to address first.
Sure.
And let's, you know, get in touch with somebody that can help you modify those factors or help you design a plan that is going to set you up more for success.
Yep.
That's not going to be this all or nothing, just don't eat for 40 days and see what happens.
You know? For sure.
But, you know, I guess, you know, he seems to be doing well. Congrats on losing all that weight, because that seemed to be what one of his goals was.
Yeah.
He also claims to have found a lot more clarity on who he is as a person and has some stronger relationships spiritually and with the, you know, with his family. And so that's great. I'm curious now to see what happens this next time he does it. But, you know, again, I'm not going to sit here and recommend it to anybody.
And I hope he makes some money off of that. I just hope that wasn't his primary motivation.
Yeah. And I want, and it's one of those things too. It's like, you always wonder, like, did he actually do it for 40 days? Like, granted, he did lose 100 plus pounds, but, like, did he actually lose 100 plus pounds in 40 days, and did he just fat?
With no help.
With, like, no help,
appetite suppressant.
With nothing and just water.
Because that's a big dude that played in the league. I mean, they were probably pounding ribeyes right before
10,
games.
10,000 calories
a day. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, the pregame meals. Exactly.
And I'm curious on the – I mean, I don't want to sit here and say the dude made it up, but I'm just curious to follow along on this journey here.
It's piqued my interest.
It has. And it gave us a podcast episode.
Yep, absolutely. Episode 200. Here we go.
Episode 200. We're talking about fasting for 40 days.
Yeah, for sure.
But we'll report back. If BV fasts, he'll let you know how it went, and I'll let you know if he was cranky or not.
48 hours. I'll do it during a work week, but I'm keeping the caffeine in for sure. So it'll be a modified fast.
Just for the patients.
No calories.
Black
coffee extra black is actually a real thing, by the way. When you ask for extra black, they will drop an espresso shot in there.
Krispy Kreme?
Yeah. We had an intern. A patient gave us a gift card, Krispy Kreme, and we got coffee for everyone. And I only drink black coffee, and so I said, "Hey, black coffee, extra black." It's just kind of a joke I say, but he actually didn't know that was not a real thing. And so he asked for black coffee, extra black. They wrote it on the cup, but I think they actually dropped an espresso shot in there. So maybe that is a real thing.
Well, you have like a red eye and a black eye. Have you heard those?
I have.
Yeah. So a red eye is they drop one shot, and a black eye is they drop two shots.
Gotcha.
If you just walk up and say I want like a tall red eye or something, they'll drop a shot in there. Is that what that means?
Gotcha.
Or at least again, my barista friends might correct me, but that's what I've gotten out of that.
No, that was new to me.
The black eye is two usually. Okay. So you may have gotten double shots. shot, bro.
Perhaps. I was buzzing that day.
Fired up.
All right. Episode 200. This is Better Faster Podcast. We're out.